You know, last week we started talking about some hallmarks of wisdom, and I want to continue to talk to you about that today. In your bulletins there's an outline if you'd like to follow along with today, and we're just kind of going through a series called Hallmarks of Wisdom, and last week we took some time and we talked about one of the very first hallmarks of wisdom is to feed your spirit. It's imperative to feed your spirit. Without feeding your spirit, you will starve. Without feeding yourself this last Thanksgiving, you would have nothing to complain about with that full stomach and all that was going on. When you feed yourself, you grow. And what you feed yourself is very important because it determines if all you eat is sugar, if you're just down in Pixie sticks and washing it down with Pepsi, it can sustain you, but it's not going to give you great health. However, when you eat healthier food, you become stronger. So feed your spirit. But today I want to talk to you about another hallmark of wisdom, and that's to make right choices. A wise person makes wise choices. I worked at Jewel Food Store back in 87. And I had this job, and I worked with a guy, I don't even know his name, and we were on a break, and he was a smoker, and we were up in the break room, and he was smoking a cigarette, and there happened to be a bottle of flammable liquid on the table. Two guys, cigarette matches and flammable liquid, you get them in a room together, nothing good ever comes out of that. And he said, hand me that bottle. So I handed him the bottle. And they had this huge metal ashtray, and he poured a little bit in there, and he took a match and kind of flicked it in there, and woof. And it was pretty cool. We thought it was pretty cool, at least. So he goes, you want to do it? And I said, sure. And I took some, and I poured it in there. This time I put two capfuls in, lit a match, and woof, and that thing was even cooler. Two times as cool, right? You mean, the way the thinking goes, you double the amount of explosive, the cooler it is. Until we got this grand idea that since it's a metal kind of a framework, if we lit the book of matches and then squirted the liquid on it, that would be even way cooler. And so we lit the book of matches, and I said, do it, go for it. And he squirted it, and the flame started to come back up towards the bottle, up the stream. And it was kind of like a slow motion movie where you see the flame coming up to the bottle and both of us turning to each other kind of going, no, one of those. And he jerked the bottle back and the stream went and hit the ground and the flame went with it. We set the floor on fire. This is Jewel Food Store. People are shopping, listening to their elevator music. We're burning down the house as employees. And that flame, when the liquid hit, whew, the floor went on fire, and we screamed, and we're grabbing buckets of water, and we're throwing water on the floor, and it's just a mess. We put the fire out. It wasn't that big of a fire, really, but at least that was going to be our argument if our boss ever found out. And we put the fire out. We looked around, and we realized we have 10 more minutes left on our break, and we have to mop this floor. And we worked our tail off. I worked harder during that break than I did that whole day at work. We were cleaning and mopping up. It was by the grace of God we didn't blow something else up, light something else on fire, burn the building down, and it was even the grace of God that our boss and no other employee ever came up in the break room during that time. Somehow, some way, we covered our tracks, but it was one of the dumbest things we agreed we'd ever done in our lives. It was an unwise choice, and it was a decision that we were faced with that we looked at it and went, cool. And it was one of the unwisest choices we could have ever made. You know, I think of the many things, and you don't have to go far back probably in your life to think of choices that you made that weren't right. You can laugh at me and say, have you set the floor on fire? But if you were here telling your story, what would your story be of one of the dumbest things you've done? We've all got dumb stories. We've all done things that we've said that wasn't very wise. But there's also been the choices that we've made in life that we knew what we were choosing and we chose it even though we knew it wasn't right because we wanted what we wanted. And then later we regretted maybe the consequences that came because of that. You know, one of the hallmarks of wisdom is not just feeding your spirit but being a person who can make right choices or wise choices. Now that doesn't mean you always will make right choices. But if that's your goal, and if you're constantly seeking the Lord and gaining wisdom, God will reveal His Holy Spirit to you so that you can have the opportunity to make wise choices, but you still have to make them. Do you understand that? Sometimes when I talk to people, they say, well, if I pray and I ask God, then everything will be good, right? And I'll say, I don't know. What do you choose to do? We forget that we still have to make a choice. Just because God says, here's the right thing to do, doesn't mean that, okay, it's done. No, you still have to choose it. You still have to do something with that. I think of in the book of Kings, it's not in your outlines, but I just looked this up because of Ahab, the battle that took place on Mount Carmel, and Elijah was there. And he said this, there's a battle that's taking place against all the prophets and against Elijah as he stands as the prophet of God. And they're going to duke it out, so to speak, and find out who's the one true God. And it said that Ahab sent all the people of Israel and gathered them and the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the prophets and said, how long will you be limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. He said, make a choice. And then he said this, that the people did not answer him a word. Do you know that they did exactly what we do sometimes? Well, if I don't make a decision, I don't have to be responsible for anything, right? No, when you choose not to make a decision, you just made a choice. We think that if we don't make a choice, then we won't have to do anything. But the reality is if we remove ourselves from the equation, we've just said no. We've just made a decision. I want to talk to you this morning about these choices. David in the Bible was a man in the Bible who, and every one of them had to face great choices. But you can see David very clearly where he can make a David and Bathsheba moment happen over here and a David and Goliath moment over here. He can make a moment of making an unwise choice that has consequences. But then he can also make a choice over here that says it's not the wisest to go against the 9'9", you know, big old ugly man that can knock you out, but yet he knew there was something of the Holy Spirit there. There was wisdom that God gave him, and then he had a choice to act upon that. We've got the same choices today. We've got Goliaths in our lives. The question is do we have wisdom from above to know what to do when we face those Goliaths? You see, that's what we want to do is when people, remember last week we talked about, it says that the leaders recognize the disciples as having been with God. These disciples were uneducated, common men, but yet they could recognize something in them, and what they recognized was Jesus. Do you remember that? Okay. What is it going to take for people to look at us and recognize Jesus? What is it going to take for people to go, there's something about you, and I can't just quite put my finger on it, but I can tell that you've been spending time with Jesus. You must have been feeding your spirit. And they can tell that simply because it's some of the choices that you make. However, some of those choices are going to be difficult choices that we want to make or that we have to make. You know, God gives us a freedom in our choices. Did you know that? He does. You know, if I wanted coffee, I like coffee. How many of you guys are coffee lovers? Feel like, preach. Coffee is great, but let's say that I wanted coffee so bad that I decided I wanted it and I didn't want to pay for it. So I drove to my local coffee shop and I put a gun in their window and I said, give me all your coffee right now and don't water it down. Give me that double-double frappe mocha with the twist stuff on it. You know, give me the good stuff. Would I get my coffee? Probably. Do I have the freedom to do that? Absolutely. But there will be some consequences that will follow my actions of doing that. Namely, going to jail. I can go put a gun in a window and rob the place and say, give me your coffee. I have the freedom to make that choice. But that choice that I make will bring some consequences that I will not like and I will not want in my life. However, I could make the choice to drive to the local coffee station, say, I would like to buy a coffee for everyone here in church this morning and bring you the coffee, deliver it to you, say, God bless you this morning, and we will all reap favor, blessings, and benefits because of that. You know, the choice is ours. Now, that's an extreme example, but we have the choice in how we're going to respond to our spouse. Same thing. Are we going to stick a gun in their face and tear them up one side and back down the other? Are we going to treat them with that respect and that love that the very Word of God tells us that we're to do? See, we're faced with choices every day, but God makes things simple for us because we face tests in life. Did you know that you're always going through a test? We're always facing it. We have them in school. We have them in life. And in your outlines there, in Deuteronomy 30:19, he tells us something about these choices we face in life. Let's read it together. You ready? Go. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live. He's given a prescription here where he says, there's life and death, blessings and curse. Choose life, choose blessings. Don't choose that one. Now go ahead and choose. And many times we still make the wrong choice. You see, we're going to be tested every day, whether it's with the change that we get back from the lady at the register to maybe an indecent proposal. You know, I've shared with you before that I was in Hawaii I was suffering for Jesus in Hawaii. I was there for a leadership practicum, which the funny part about that is I was kind of bragging about it before I went. Yes, I have to suffer for Jesus in Honolulu, Hawaii. But I was up at 6 in the morning, and they shoved me in a building and had that thing turned down, the AC. I was in there all day long, freezing my butt off, never did see the sun. When I went back to my hotel one night, yes, I know you're having pity on me, aren't you? Oh, poor baby. I went back to the hotel, and down there, if you want to go get a Pepsi, they don't have a gift shop down at the bottom. You take an elevator out to the street, and there's their little shops. My wife was in the room. She fell asleep. I wanted a Pepsi. I went out there, and a lady approached me. And she said, "Hi." I said, "Hi," because I was just being friendly. Man, you know, I don't even know who this is. Man, you got some friendly people around here in Honolulu. This is great. And she said, "You want to be my friend for tonight?" And I said, "I want to be your friend. I don't even know you." And I'm naive to all this because I don't realize what's going on here, okay? Remember, I'm from Iowa, Clinton, Iowa. I'm in Honolulu, and she's walking around, and I thought, you know, and everyone's walking around in bikinis and stuff like that because it's Honolulu. And she says, "You want to be my friend for the night?" And I said, "No. Why do you need a friend? Oh, I know what you are." And it sunk in. I was like, "You're a..." I couldn't even get the words out. And this is all happening inside, of course. Of course, I'm sure my eyes were bulging out. And she said, I realized what she was asking me for, and I said, I always thought this. I always thought if I ever ran into lady of the evening, hooker, prostitute, I'd say, "Don't you know Jesus loves you?" You know, you ever have this speech. "Don't you know that you got a father somewhere that cares about what's going on?" But you know, you had this whole speech. I totally lost it when faced in that situation. And she said, "Do you want to be my friend?" And all I could come up with was, "I have a feeling our friendship would cost me." And she said, "You don't have money for that?" I said, "No, not for that." And I walked away from that. I faced the test right there. Now, let's say that my wife wasn't up in the hotel room and I didn't know anybody else around there. I could have had the opportunity in the midst of that to go. She'd say, "You want to be my friend for the night?" And I could have went, "Sure." And I could have entertained that. There was a test that was before me. And you're going to face those all the time. You're going to have opportunities in front of you where the enemy is going to try to set you up and trip you up because he wants to know, do you value wisdom from above, or do you value more what you want in your life? And unfortunately, we live in a society that wants what we want when we want it. And God says, "I want to give you wisdom from above." He says, you're going to face life and death opportunities, blessings and curses, but choose life. It's an easy scripture to read, but it's sometimes difficult to live out because it requires us to discipline ourselves. But by making right choices, we make ourselves wiser, and it's a hallmark of wisdom. You know, a lot of times when faced with a decision or even a temptation, or maybe they're one and the same, we know what's right. We know what's the right thing to do. We know what we should do. The thing that we struggle with is we want to do what we want to do. That's what we struggle with. We don't struggle with, is it right or is it wrong? We struggle with making the choice to do the right thing. But the scripture is very clear. James 14, it says in your outlines there, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is what? It's sin." The Bible says, if you know what you're supposed to do and you're choosing not to do it, then to you it is sin. Because you're choosing to go the opposite direction of what where God is leading. You know, by human nature or sin nature, there's a part of us that's drawn to darkness, to do the wrong thing. I've often said, if you've ever wanted to attract people, put up a no trespassing sign. People want to see what they're not supposed to trespass against. And they'll go examine it. They'll check it out because we're kind of nosy by nature and we want what we want. But when we come to a relationship with Jesus, we got to understand we still have the sin nature within us. We're saved and we're sanctified, but we still have the sin nature. But now there's something much greater that we serve than ourselves. There's something much greater in our life than just wanting what we want. Now we live to please the Lord. There's always a struggle because you want to do what God's to do God's will, but you also want to do what you want to do. And John 3:21 says it this way: "But he who practices the truth comes to the light." So the question is are you practicing the truth? You know, as you do that, you come to the light. How do you practice coming to the light? Well, one way is by making right choices. It's when something looks tempting and you know it's not right. You may even know you could get away with it, but you choose to do the right thing. That's a hallmark of wisdom. We don't know when these tests will come and what will be on them. It often seems that our hardest tests come at specific times. And I want to give you just four areas where I see that we get challenged all the time in these tests. And then I want to give you just a few ideas of what we can do to prepare for that. You know, some of the hardest tests in life come, number one, when we're tired. Have you noticed that? When you're tired, you're exhausted, you're weak, you're mentally not prepared, you're not there. The enemy comes in and man, he just starts hitting away at you because he knows you're at a weak moment. And he wants to do everything he can to exhaust you even further. It's so true. You know, one of the things that happens to me, and I don't know if it's true with you, but when I'm tired, it's truly not the best time to make decisions. You know, because you're going to end up just saying, whatever, I don't care, sure, that's fine. You're going to say things like that, not even really sure what it is that you're agreeing to. All you know is you want to shut the other person up, so you just tell them what they want to hear. I'm so tired, I don't care. And the enemy will try to wiggle in there at those times and will try to manipulate his way in there because then he can get you to not make right choices. And it's not even that you really made a bad choice or a wrong choice. You just did not make the wisest choice. See, sometimes it's not just about right and wrong or good or bad. It's about, did I make the wisest choice possible? The enemy comes in when you're tired. It's in these times that we make some grave errors. Ironically, it's also when we face some of the toughest tests in life. We'll be tired and all of a sudden we'll face a test and all of a sudden our attitude will change. Our perspective will change. We can have our spouse walk into the room and some words are spoken and one thing leads to another and before you know it, you're in an argument. It happens. Happens in relationships. All you wanted was some peace and quiet, and now you're in an argument. You don't know how you got here. You don't know why you're here. You just know that you're here. And you start wanting to defend yourself. It happens many times. And we wonder, am I saying that every argument you have with your spouse is a spiritual attack? No, I'm not saying every one of them, but I'm saying that the enemy will use those moments to wiggle in there to cause some more discord, or maybe it's going to be between you and your employer or your employee, or maybe it's going to be between you and your children or a peer or a friend. But when you get tired and weakened, then the enemy tries to come in and just add a little bit more pressure and tempt you. These tests will come when you're tired. And the tests that you face in life aren't necessarily designed to bring destruction. However, they can be indicators of what's on the inside of your life. They can be showing you what's going on in the progress or lack thereof that you're making. Proverbs 27:19 says this, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects man. You know, when you're facing these tests and trials, what's coming out? Because you'll be able to hear it. People will see it. What's on the inside? That's what's most important. It's the hearts that are communicated by the choices that we make. So we must choose wisely. You know, a second area where tests seem to come very specifically is when you're being tempted. That's when there's a test, is when you're being tempted. Temptation is one of the things that we'll face every day in our lives. And the question has never been, will we face temptations? The question is, what are we going to do when we're faced with temptation? In the Bible, there was a mighty man of God who faced the temptation and he failed. So it's true that even mighty men of God can fail this test, but it's also true that when you fail in this area of temptation, God can also forgive you and restore you. So some of us are here today. Now we've all of us here today, we live in a sin world. We all need God's forgiveness. We all need his redemption. But sometimes you get stuck in something and you don't know how to get out of it. And you think, I can't get away from this. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop chewing. I can't stop pornography. I can't stop the booze. I can't stop the abuse or the anger that's inside. I don't know how to do it. And all of a sudden, that these tests, they come when you're tempted to cross the line one more time. The enemy wants to bring something that will steal, kill, and destroy, but God says that he comes to give you life and to give it more abundantly or to give it to the fullest. You see, it's so true that when we face these tough times, there's a test that's going on. Temptation is one of the arenas that happens in. David, as I referred to earlier in the Bible, faced this very temptation when he was viewing Bathsheba from a rooftop. He was a man of God. He loved him, and God loved David. But David, in the midst of temptation, there was a test that was going on, and he failed the test. He sent people over to go get Bathsheba, to bring him over so that he could have a relationship with her. He didn't care at that point that she was married or not. All he knew was he wanted what he wanted, and he failed the test. You see, you and I are going to face tests, and there's going to be temptations that will come into our lives. And when these temptations come in, it's not just about wanting what you want. It's about the enemy trying to bring some death and destruction. So it's so important for us to make sure that we are choosing wisely so we can pass the test. How many of you ever seen the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? Remember the last one? Harrison Ford, Sean Connery are in that. And there's a point in the movie where, remember, they have to go find the They're looking for the youth. You know, is it the youth they're looking for, or the eternal life, or whatever it is? And they have to go through three tests. And the first test is the test of the penitent man, where he kneels down and he makes it through those razor blade things. And then the next step is he has to spell out Jehovah, and those are the stepping stones. Then he's got the leap of faith that he takes. And he makes it across. And the final test that comes is the one that says, here are the many cups. You choose which one would be the cup of Christ. And of course, if you remember the movie, one guy comes in, and if you haven't seen the movie, spoiler alert coming up here, okay? He comes in, and he finds the prettiest, shiniest cup that looked like majestic. This has to be one of royalty. And he takes the cup, and he drinks the water, and he looks at the Joseph of Arimathea who's there, and after he drinks it, he looks at him, and he says, "You have chosen poorly." And the guy withers up and dies. Now it's Indiana's turn, and he's looking for the right cup. And he looks for this cup, and he finds this one that you wouldn't expect to be the cup of Christ, because it was the most boring, plainest cup you probably would ever see up there. But it was the cup of a carpenter. It was who Christ was. And he used that cup, he takes the drink, and you've seen the movie, Joseph of Arimathea, that whole group, that guy that was there, he says, "You have chosen wisely." You know, we're going to face tests in life. And we're going to be tempted to go for that which is shiny, that which is blingy, that which draws our attention. All you have to do is get something shiny and colorful, and it can distract us. Do you know that's exactly what the enemy wants to do? He wants us to look for the shiny. He wants us to look to get distracted. Not that God doesn't have something great for us, but know that some of these tests we face in life are going to come in the midst of temptation. The third area where we really find ourselves tested is when you're under pressure. Anyone ever get under pressure? That's when you find yourself being tested. Job in the Bible was tested by God. It says that in the Bible that he lost all he had. He lost his daughter, his sons, his home, his money, his cattle, his field. And all that he was left with was three friends who kept saying, "You must have sinned, Job. What did you do?" And he was left with a wife that said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Pretty nice, huh? That's all he had going for him at that time. And he could have probably felt like, "I just want to give up. I want to quit. I'm done. This is all I get for all that I've done." He wanted to throw in the towel, but in the midst of those pressures, he still praises God. And because of that, he makes a wise choice. He had the opportunity to bail, but he didn't bail. Maybe today you feel like bailing on a situation. God says, that's a test that's going on in your life. Don't fail the test. Don't look at just the immediate and say, "This is all I can see." Ask God to give you his eyes so you can see what he sees, because he sees the big picture. When pressure comes into our life, what it does is it blinds us from the immediate. It blinds us from seeing that God can heal us. It blinds us from seeing that there is an answer to the question or the problem that we're facing in our life. But if all we see is the pressure, and if all we do is talk about the pressure and never invite God into that his presence into that situation, we'll never see the answer. We're going to be tested at times, and sometimes we're going to be tested when we're under pressure. The fourth thing is we'll be tested when, and this is just kind of a simple one, but obvious, we're tested when we're hungry. How many of you change into somebody else when you're hungry? It happens, doesn't it? In my family, whenever somebody gets kind of just snarky, you know, it just, you know, just kind of just attitude or whatever, they may make me mad or they'll say something and be like, what is your problem? If I'm thinking that, the first thing I'll say is, when's the last time you ate? And they'll say, you know, I don't know, yesterday. I'll be like, go get something to eat. And it's amazing that feeding, once they've fed themselves, it changes their whole attitude because they were hungry. Do you know that many times when we're hungry, it changes who we are? Maybe I've heard somebody else say this, but if I could ever buy a restaurant and name it, I would name it, I don't know, I don't care. Because do you ever have this when you leave and somebody says, where do you want to go eat? What do they usually say? I don't know, I don't care. We all say it. And when we leave hungry, we want to be fed. And when we're not fed, it changes who we are. It kind of starts messing with us and our attitudes. And all of a sudden, things happen. Do you know the same thing is true spiritually? If we don't feed ourselves spiritually, like we talked about last week, when we come to those hungry places in our spirit, we're going to be tested in those moments. Jesus was tested in the wilderness. And it says that the enemy came and kept trying to trip him up, but he kept fighting him off with the word of God. Jacob and Esau in the Bible, you find an example of something that took place. He sold his birthright because he was so hungry. He said, you're so hungry, I'll sell you my birthright. When somebody's hungry and you feed them, their attitude changes. The same is true for us in our spirit when we're talking about spiritual hunger. When you spiritually are empty, you are tested. You and I are tested, and there's no gas in our tank, so to speak. We're in trouble. But when you feed yourself spiritually, it gives you strength to pass the test. And during these times, it's hard to think straight. So what do we do? And how do we prepare for this? I just want to give you three or four things that I really just felt the Lord speaking to my heart about preparing beforehand. You're going to face tests in life. You do understand this, right? How about the rest of you? You're going to face tests in life. You're going to face them at some of the most obvious times, like when you're hungry and when you're tired and when things aren't going your way. But the question is what can you do? What can you do to prepare yourself beforehand? Because you're going to leave here today and you're going to end up facing some of these tests. The question is, not will you face tests? The question is what will you do when you face them? And number one is this, prepare in advance beforehand. Make sure you prepare. How do I do that? Well, this sounds obvious, but it's just like in school. If you want to pass a test, what should you do if you want to get a good grade? You should study. You should prepare beforehand. But if you're like me, a lot of times I didn't want to prepare beforehand. I didn't want to study for the test, and I was amazed when I got a lower grade. But then when I did study, my grade would go up. Why? Because I took the time to prepare in advance for the test that I knew was coming down the pike. Do you know that you and I are going to face tests? God told us in His Word, He says, in this world, you will experience tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what is God saying? He's saying this, a test is coming. So start studying for the test. But many times we say, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, I know I need to feed my spirit. Yeah, I know I need to make right choices. And I'll get to that eventually. The problem is if you wait until the test comes and you're not prepared, you're not going to get a good grade on the test. And so it is that if we don't prepare for these tests that God is talking to us about in our spirit, if we don't garner these principles to have hallmarks of wisdom in our life, we're going to fail the test. We're going to fail the test. See, this applies to our life in the area of making right choices. This doesn't just come naturally. You have to discipline yourself, which is why we don't like to do it. And as we do this in disciplining ourselves, it will start to develop us. It will start to mature us. And we start to look more like Christ than we start to look like the world. And it's a hallmark of wisdom. But we have to be people that are willing to prepare for the test beforehand. The second thing is this. If we're going to make sure we prepare for these tests, we have to make sure to guard our hearts. Guard your heart. One of my favorite all-time verses in the Bible, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, it says, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do. Now, in some translations, it's worded a little differently, but in one of them, it's I believe the ESV, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. And I thought about that. Above all else, guard my heart. Above everything else, I must guard my heart. Why? Because it affects everything that I do. Every thought that I think, every action that I do, when I do them, it's because of something that I have with inside of my heart. If I want to bless somebody, then I bless them, and there's going to be a blessing that comes back to me. But if there's the opposite, if I choose to do harm to somebody, that comes back. Guard your heart, because it's going to affect everything you do. Every decision you make, it affects you. We have to guard our heart. Guarding our heart is of utmost importance. We must guard our hearts, not just from things we might say or think, but we must also guard our hearts from what we allow in. You know, I remember talking to a couple, and they were having a hard time, and they were in an argument, and they couldn't figure out why they were struggling so much. And eventually, one of them popped up and said, "Well, every time you do this, you just keep telling me, just like my mom always did, that I'll never amount to anything." And I said, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. Where did mom come up in this? And long story short, when I chased it down, there was something that this person had allowed into their life, because a mom spoke a word that was negative, spoke a word in the midst of an argument, and this person received that word into her heart. And for 20 years, believed that she would never amount to anything because of a word that was spoken over her life. You see, the problem at that point was no longer about just the husband and the wife and what they were fighting about. It could have been anything. The reason and the issue was because there was a word that was allowed into her heart that said, "You'll never amount to anything," and she valued that word more than she valued the word of God. And it started to change who she was. It started to affect everything that she did. You see, sometimes we don't guard what we allow spoken into our lives, and it can affect us. Maybe you've grown up in a home, or you have a friend or know somebody that did, and they kept hearing words like, "You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. Can't you do anything right? You'll never make anybody happy. You're never going to succeed. You're going to fail at everything you do." And when you hear those words over and over and over again, and you don't guard your hearts, then it becomes a part of your heart. It becomes a part of your identity, and it becomes a part of who you are. That's why the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart. Because God knows this, that if you don't guard your heart, it's going to affect you, even if you do. Everything you do, it's going to affect everything in your life. So guard your heart, because if we're not guarding our heart, we can let things sink into our hearts, and then they become defining factors in our lives. We start living life making decisions based on a foundation that's faulty. When your foundation is faulty, whatever you build on, it's always going to be a little bit off. Like the rudder of a ship, you can just change it just 1 degree. And if you change it 1 degree, you'll never arrive at your destination, will you? Because you'll always be slowly drifting away from where you thought you set your course to. You'll never reach the destination in life if you're just a little bit off. God says, guard your heart. Would you let the very presence of God come in and just give you some direction in your life? Maybe today you're seeking some wisdom on what to do in a relationship. Maybe you're thinking about a job that you may or may not take. Maybe you're thinking about a retirement issue. Whatever it may be, would you let God bring wisdom into your heart and into your life? Because you may say, "Well, I think I got this covered," but if you're 1 degree off, it's going to change the whole course of your life. So make sure that above all else, that you and I, that we're guarding our hearts. We must do it. If we allow faulty thinking to affect us, then we make wrong choices based on what we feel. And we should never make decisions based on feelings. Do you know that? It shouldn't be based on feelings. Remember that song, "Feelings, nothing more than feelings." Man, somebody needs to beat that guy up, all right? Feelings, you know what? Feelings are real. Feelings are a gift from God, okay? But God never said make decisions based on feelings. And if you do not guard your heart, you will make choices based on what you feel today. But the problem is you may feel different tomorrow. And if you feel different tomorrow, you're going to make another decision that might be the complete opposite from the day before. Wisdom says, make right choices. How do we do that? Prepare beforehand. And above all else, guard your heart. But number three, make sure that you hide His word in your heart. Make sure that you get the word of God in here. Don't let it be something that you heard the pastor read it, so that was good enough for the week. That's why last week we gave the 3x5 challenge. Hopefully you did that. You wrote down Proverbs 1:5, stuck it in your pocket, walked all through the week, kind of hid that word in your heart. You see, we become wiser people when we hide His word in our hearts. Psalms 119:11 tells us this. It says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We hit on this verse last week. But what the point is it's an inside job. If you're going to make right choices, know that it starts here in your heart. That's why it's important to guard your heart, but also hide His word in that same place. Hide His word in your heart. It's in those times when you're trying to make right choices. If you've not hidden His word in your heart, What's he going to bring to your remembrance? What is it that he's going to stir in your heart? We must hide his word in our hearts. Sometimes we think, well, why should I? Because sometimes we learn all these Bible verses and they never do any good. You know, when I was going to school, I went over to the Christian school and we had a Bible class and you had to memorize Bible verses. And I remember thinking, this is stupid. They're just making us do this because they're a Christian school, you know. And I'd learned these verses and when I started putting them away in my heart, I remembered them enough to take the test, okay? And I would be able to write it down, but then I would move on to the next verse, or I'd move on to the next class, and then I moved on to the next year. But I'll tell you what was interesting to me. I was 21 years old, and I was struggling. I wasn't living for the Lord. I was having a hard time. I thought I had all the answers. I thought I knew better, and I thought, you know, I know God's God, and I'm not, but I thought I knew more than God. And so I started living life that way. And when I found myself in a world of hurt, and I was at the lowest of lows, and I was at the very bottom, I knew enough to call out to God. I said, God, I don't know what else to do. I am so sorry. I've tried to do everything in my own strength, and I was wrong. Lord, I want to come back to you, and I don't know what to do. And when I said that, a verse popped into my head that was somewhere here in my heart. And I remember learning it in school. Psalms said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And I thought, where did that come from? And you know where it came from? High school, Bible class. When I took the time, yes, because I had to, but I hid his word in my heart. I learned an important lesson that day. I learned a lot of important lessons that day, actually. But the one that I'm thinking of right now is the one that said, you know what, I hid his word here because God knew down here I was going to need it. Had I not hidden his word back here, what would God have spoken to me? I don't know. Could God still speak to me? Yes, I believe he could. But I believe that when you take time and you hide his word in your heart, he says that when you do that, I can bring to your remembrance. I can bring back up in your mind and your heart because you've taken that time to hide my word in your heart, then I'm going to bring my heart into your world. And I'm going to bring healing. And that changed how I looked at that day. Hide his word in your heart. But another way that we become wiser is number four, write this down. We've just simply got to know this. Know that God, he's the one who has all the answers to the test. When you face tests in life, God is the one who has all the answers to the test. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is there in your outlines. It's on the screen as well. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Basically, God is saying here, Paul is saying here, that God is faithful. And when you're going through tests, God says, I've got the answers if you just simply ask. You ever have an open book test in school? Didn't you just love those? I loved open book tests because that meant this. The test I'm about to take, I have the answers available to me so that I can ace this test. Therefore, it would be very unwise for me to go ahead and try to answer the questions without looking at the answers when the teacher has provided them. God is saying, you're going to face temptations. I've already told you that. Remember, in this world, you're going to face trouble and tribulation. But don't worry, when you face these temptations, I will have given you a way out. I will have given you a way that when the pressure of this life has come upon you, that you will know what to do because you will hear my Holy Spirit. How will I hear your Holy Spirit, you may ask? It's when you take time and say, God, speak to me. Give me an ear to hear. When you hide his word in your heart, when above all else you're guarding your heart, then it affects everything that you do so that you can become much wiser. You see, it starts with feeding our spirit. It then moves to making right choices. You and I, we have all that it takes today. What's left is to make the right choices, and only we can do that. Amen? Well, Father, I want to ask today then, that in what's been shared, we have what it takes. Lord, your word says that we've been equipped to face everything that can come our way. But what we don't know, God, is as if we will have the tenacity and the boldness to make the right choice. Lord God, sometimes we know we want to make the right choice, but we know that making the right choice may cost us. It may embarrass us. It may even be something that we just feel like we don't know how to handle it because at the moment, maybe we're full of shame. But Lord, your word says that you've not come to bring shame into our lives. You've not brought condemnation. You may bring conviction, but the only time you ever do that is because you love us so much that you want to call us back home. You want to make that right in our hearts and our lives. And so, Father, we just simply want to humble our hearts before you today. Lord, will you just work in our hearts in a special way that a seed's been planted today? We want to be known as people that are wise. Lord, we want to know that as we leave here today, we can walk into this community of Clinton, Iowa. We can be the church, not the building, but the people. That we can be a church, a people who have those hallmarks of wisdom, people who feed their spirits, people who make right choices, and people who, when they don't make a right choice, are quick to repent and turn it around and say, Lord, I fell down again, but I'm getting back up. Lord, would you strengthen us in our very spirits? I simply want to ask this. Maybe you're here today, and there's the choice that you need to make right, and that choice is the one with God. Are you here today, and you know you need to make that right with him? I simply want to give you that opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just simply going to ask you today. You've been challenged by the very Spirit of God, and he's saying, that's you, son and daughter. I want you to be able to be the one that makes that right. You draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Are you here today? And you need to make that decision to make it right with him. Just simply raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. Will you remember me in prayer? I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand and your heart. And he loves your heart so much. And he wants to grant you the wisdom from above. And maybe at times you felt like you've had all the wisdom you can handle, but he says, there's so much more I want to pour out into your life. And it starts as you humble your heart. And as you continue that process, he says, I will pour forth a blessing, not one that you've been used to. It's an uncommon blessing that will enter into your life because you continually say, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, show me more of you. Is there any other hearts here today that you'd say, I need to make that decision? I need to make that right with him right now, that it's a hallmark of wisdom. I'll wait for just a moment. Okay. Well, Father, we thank you that we can be a people that stand before you and say, Jesus, in the midst of life, we want nothing more than your Holy Spirit to lead us. So, Lord, as we go today, may we be people who walk in that wisdom. Wisdom doesn't say that we're always right. Wisdom says that when we're wrong, we humble our hearts because we want to please you, Lord. So we ask this all in your name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? And as you leave here today, if you did not do the 3x5 challenge, Proverbs 1:5, we wrote it down on an index card. Just learn that. Hide his word in your heart and watch how God will use that. He'll speak to you through his word. God bless you. You're dismissed.